Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'm your host, Elvis, and I'm here to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers at the end of the week and really the end of our rope, so we'd like to be able to talk honestly and openly about our jobs, which even though they drive us crazy, we still love and we'd like to keep them, so we're going to use pseudonyms to remain anonymous. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Ludlam Dramatics. That's right, if you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, send them to Ludlam Dramatics so they can get the best theater teacher resources for the classroom, for your walls, it's everything. Usually, theater teachers have to make it themselves. Not anymore. They just need to go to ludlamdramatics.com and see all the amazing awesomeness that they have. It really is pretty cool. Also, I'd like to thank all of our Patreon sponsors. That's right, for as little as $5 a month, you can get access to all kinds of bonus extra content, extra episodes, lost episodes. You get to hear interviews with the cast. There is so much stuff there, and we add more every month. And so please go to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast Patreon, and you can just love all the bonus stuff you get and just roll around in it. Put on your headphones, go for a walk, lay in your bed, drive in your car, eat your lunch, whatever you need. Just enjoy it. I'd like to thank all of our newest Patreon sponsors, so bear with me. We have Shelly K, Abby B, Ann T, Kristen G, Sarah B, Regina B, Anna L, Josie S, Sam B, India G, Lucy P, Mary E, Jamie B, Hope H, Aaron D, Kristen W, Vanessa J, Kate C, Mary C, Haley M, Barry N, Rylan L, Catherine S, Perla C, Kelsey W, RJR, Kara T, Kristen C, Amanda T, Johanna H, Tony, Christina K, Irma A, Rebecca J, Melissa M, Lisa S, Casey B, and Sarah N. Thank you guys so much, and hey, encourage your friends, and I hope if there's anything special you want, patrons, just message me, because that's what we do in there. All right, my friends, Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday, and if there's something you would like us to cover, or if you have a question for us, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or really the easiest thing, go to our website, www.teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com, and send a message through the contact page. There's also all kinds of great Teacher Needs a Drink gear that you can get there. Shot glasses, koozies, bottle openers. Who doesn't need Teacher Needs a Drink bottle opener? Really? Okay, guys, enjoy episode 69.
Taint. It's one of my favorite words is taint.
Crotch hole. It's the crotch hole. Whoever crotch that is.
All right. Well, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today is Miss Lucy Elaine.
Hi, guys.
Hello and welcome. And also with the same Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Hey again, Elvis.
Welcome back. And Miss Shirley Temper.
I don't know how good you are, darling, and I don't know what it is you're good at, but if it's at the cheetah, it's not dancing.
Well, welcome to the end of January. School's been going for a little while, and well, I don't have a lot of exciting news. I am a little excited about Chicago, and one of the things that excited us about Chicago probably a year ago last fall was that the Chicago Teachers Union got together and struck for a lot of unfair practices. Mm-hmm. Well, they are back in the news again because they have not been in person, I think, for most of this year or all of this year. I don't think they've been in person, but the district is trying to force all pretty much, I think, K through 8 teachers back into the building. And as of last Monday a week ago, the teachers union refused to go.
Yeah, they did.
And so they did not go back in school. And so they started to say, we're going to find you guys. I said, okay, we'll just give you a few more days so we can talk some more. But pretty much the teachers are asking for, hey, you either give us some PPE, some protective gear, or you just take us in the gym and you vaccinate us. And they're like, well, we can't vaccinate you because that's unfair to the people we said we'd vaccinate first. Well, then don't send us back to school, because all the teachers really, well, the majority of the teachers want to be back in the classroom. No one really loves doing the online. It's not ideal, but we don't want to go back at the risk of our lives or health. I think at this point, all of us know some teachers who were severely sick or teachers who have ended up having like their family members die or get completely sick, and they don't need to be exposed to this. So if everyone else can be virtual, why are we forcing this, or why are we not making teachers more of a priority for vaccines? Because in Texas, you either have to have a health condition or you have to be labeled as a beast to get the vaccine early if you're a teacher.
You know what's funny is just like I just got my first shot. I got my first vaccination.
Yeah, I wouldn't call you a beast.
No, I wouldn't. I'm definitely not obese. But I felt lucky enough. Isn't that sad? I felt lucky enough to get that message and was just like, oh, yeah, please come down and like start the process.
See, Mr. Temper got that same way, but it was like super under the table almost because, I live in a much smaller town and there were some people who were supposed to get their vaccinations, but weren't able to come. And it was like the last 20 minutes and they were going to have to throw them all away. And so it was, we had to make a split decision and I was already with the kids and I was a few beers in that night. So I was like, I can't fucking go. I can't drive myself. So he went and got his first dose, but he's not, over 65 or has a like health condition. Like my parents can't even get it.
But like I'm just really shocked because I mean, I will say this, like good for them. I love Chicago. I would love to hear about more listeners' opinions from Chicago. So if you are a listener in Chicago, please send us some of your thoughts and opinions. And, I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I really would like to talk to some of our Chicago teachers are out there because we definitely raised the flag with you guys last fall or fall a year ago when you guys were striking. And I'm there with you 100%. I want to see how this turns out because it really does kind of set the temperature for a lot of other places. And my God, if you're forcing the teachers back, make us a priority in teaching. Or even if you want to go back to the classroom, you can get your shot early. Make it a motivation. But I also know that there is a limit on vaccines and they're having a hard time getting them everywhere where they need to be. But right. You just think if you're forcing these people back in, like if people who are healthcare workers for like the elderly, like in old folks' homes, if they can get it because they're going to expose and they're people risk, wouldn't you want to stop the spread at schools too?
Well, it's also an institution. Schools aren't also an institution. You have to like think about that. It's not just about, healthcare workers, God love them, God save them. They are angels. We can't do this whole thing without them. And they are working tirelessly. However, we're institutions. We all need to think about that being like lumped as a whole and do it up correctly.
I would like to offer a special middle finger to Governor Greg Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton here in Texas, because when it came time to talk about schools reopening, teachers were considered essential to the point that we had to be back in the classrooms immediately or our schools were going to lose funding. But then when it came time for vaccinations, good old Governor Abbott bumped us down on the list out of Group 1B. Mm-hmm. So, we're not essential enough to get vaccines, but we're essential enough to get our asses back in the classroom because...
Oh, Bonnie, you got this.
Kenny didn't get his Trump pardon, so maybe he's just a little butthurt.
But also, this just goes to show the power of unions and being able to organize. And if you live in a state that has a strong union or an area that has a strong union like Chicago... Thank your lucky stars, because in Texas, we are right to work, and it's actually illegal for us to collectively bargain as teachers. So
no, and they try hard to talk down, destroy unions, and they'll say things like, well, if you're a union, the build we can't survive, won't be able to afford the things you guys demand. Well, if your institution demands slave labor in order to exist, then your institution is flawed. Your business plan is flawed. Mm-hmm. You need to figure out a different way to fund it then.
We've got one here from the Teacher Needs a Drink contact page. This one comes to us from Wonder Woman. Hey, y'all. I love the podcast. I'm a white teacher in an urban school district. I am passionate about racial equality and injustice as it relates to my city, my school district, and across the nation. I unashamedly discuss with my students racial issues and encourage them to become advocates and activists so that we never have to go through Trump presidency again.
Amen.
Thank you. I am ready to move on from teaching and want to eventually become a policymaker, but need some more experience first to move up the ladder. I don't want to be a principal, but have an educational policy and leadership advanced degree. I am wanting to become a teacher recruiter, a teacher coach, a curriculum coordinator, a dean of students, or something of the like. My problem is this. Understandably, my district would rather hire a person of color for those advanced roles. I totally get it, and I'm all for it. My problem, though, is that I'm afraid a suburban district or rural district wouldn't want my ideas, that they wouldn't hire me because I'd want to do bias training and make certain we are telling the truths of history and the truths of racism that exist today. I'm tough, and I'm all for pushing boundaries, and I think it is necessary. I'm not sure I can be a lone wolf in this endeavor, and I'm not certain they will even hire me. What do you think?
Well, I understand that. I know when you're in a mixed community or in any community, you would like to have an admin that best represents your population or your student population, especially when it just comes to everything. I can see how you might be apprehensive about trying to crawl up the ladder just because you think they might not want you. I would attempt to, and I would try to, unless they blatantly say, don't apply here, we're not going to do it. But there's all kinds of places in the suburbs and kind of that need help and also still have issues. And that, I mean, just because it's suburbs doesn't mean it's lily white. But I think you could still go somewhere and try. But I do believe if that is your goal, you do need to discuss that whoever's hiring you to make sure that kind of mixes in with the community. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to go to a school that you think, hey, I'm going to do all this. And they're like, yeah, no, don't rock the boat. Just sit and shut up. Because some schools are like that and some schools are like, yeah, what's raise activists? I mean, it depends on the culture and community. Lucille?
I don't think that you shouldn't try. I think with the experiences, I would be prepared. Have your experiences ready. I think that might really help. I mean, it's really hard, and I understand this. Let's be honest, like myself, being a white woman, like, it's hard to express your thoughts and opinions on something, even if you see it firsthand, as opposed to someone who is that person feeling it, experiencing it.
I think if you want to make change and... there are so many lily white areas, and I think, you know, obviously communicate. I agree with you, Lucille, you know, communicating that these are my priorities, this is what I want to do. But there are a lot of, especially in the rural areas, where especially where I live, it is not lily white. We are pretty equally divided, Hispanic, Black, and white. And we need that type of advocacy. And quite frankly, because of the color of your skin, you're probably going to get in better here, which sucks. And I don't like that. But maybe you can change that with your awesomeness.
I think that you may have better luck than you think you do, hopefully, having taught in Title I schools for basically my whole career at this point. As the suburbs become more diverse, your experiences working in a more diverse school setting could prove pretty valuable and could come in, you know, could be seen as an asset when you go to interview if you've got a school that, you know, they know their demographics are changing and they know that they're not really prepared for that, then your experiences could be a good kind of transition into, well, she's still someone who you would still be comfortable, but you would be there pushing the, you would be there to push the envelope a little bit. So, like, I think that could be like a secret power for you.
I like that. Your secret superpower.
All right, my dudes, this is from the Teacher Needs a Drink contact page from Hurricane 77. I just recently discovered your fucking awesome, all caps, podcast a couple months ago, and I am hooked. I'm a high school freshman English teacher on Maryland's Eastern Shore, and I wanted to share my frustration at our district's recent decision to rush kids back into buildings. In my county, the COVID-related health metrics are insanely high and way above state average. Despite this, we were told this afternoon the kids would be returning to the buildings on February 1st, and that all students would be back 2 weeks after that. Our governor stated there is no good health reason to keep kids out of schools, but multiple districts in my state have opened only to close back down due to outbreaks of the coronavirus. As a teacher of freshmen, I have just over a week to get ready, both in my classroom as well as mentally, for my students to return. While I would love nothing more than for my students to be in my classroom, it needs to be done in a safe manner, and this is really being rushed. Plus, my building is filthy. My classroom has not been cleaned one time since teachers entered the building in August. Sometimes my trash is not even dumped. Anyway, thank you again for your amazing podcasts. I really relate to all of you so much. Have a great week.
Aw, thank you, Miss Hurricane.
Bebe. Mm-hmm. I can actually relate to that pretty much. We found out last week in a really exciting way that if our students are virtual and they are failing one or more classes, they report to campus tomorrow. So I will have an additional 30 students.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And we will have an additional 500 students on campus. And it's going to be fucking bad because where I live, we are having a huge spike. And I mean, it's terrifying. And on top of it, the way it was rolled out was bullshit. They sent letters home, but they didn't tell the teachers that these students were coming back until last Wednesday. And we found out with a casual email with them being like, hey, teachers, we need you to post in your Canvas classrooms that if you're a failing any classes that you need to come back on Monday. And I refuse to do it because that's not my job as a teacher. That's an administrator job.
Yeah.
I've subsequently, my mental health has taken a nosedive. Mm-hmm. I am freaked the fuck out. My depression's got me by the ankles. It's kicking my ass right now. So I completely empathize with you, Hurricane 77, and I don't have an answer for you. I would raise as much hell as you can, especially with your classroom being gross. That pisses me off, and I'm so sorry about that.
I've had to deal with that, but that was more just because the school district didn't want to pay for... I take it back, it wasn't even the school district. Our school district subcontracted all of the cleaning and cafeteria work to Aramark, which is kind of like a big... They do everything. They do everything from running hotels to catering in parentheses, but they specialize in schools and doing contracts. And at some point, Aramark decided it didn't need to have two custodians in the evening to help clean the building. It just needed one. And they've either fired the old custodian, or I don't even remember how it happened, but they just brought in like one new person. And so they weren't really cleaning. Like, they'd clean some of the rooms sometimes. There was always empty full trash cans when we'd come the next day. So we started like taking out our trash cans ourselves so we get cleaned. Every now and then I'd make just a little bit of a mess on the floor. Like, I'd literally ball up just like four or five papers and throw them. So if you walked in the room, you'd see there was a mess. Because I think what happened is they just come in and see if the floor wasn't like huge dirty, so they wouldn't clean up anything. But if I left a few papers like crumpled up in little balls, then they would say, oh shit, I better go clean. And then they'd actually clean the room. But that went on for months, and we'd report to the principal, and the principal would send it up the flag and like, oh, we contacted Aramark and they'll take care of it eventually. But they don't care.
Vomit. You know,
hiring somebody, some poor person to come in for minimum wage and just kind of clean a whole school and all the grossness that goes along with that. Ugh.
My school has been back in person since early September. We were one of the first districts in the area to go back, so I feel your pain on this, Hurricane. Get the kids in on cleaning, honestly. And you too, Shirley, because like at the end of class, I just spray down the cloth with the disinfectant spray or spray each desk with the disinfectant spray, and the kids wipe their desk and pass it down, and then there's a laundry bag at the end of the row.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And we just get the kids to do some of the cleaning. And then at the end of the week, I just throw the bag in my trunk and bring it home and throw it in the washer. Be careful with bleach-based disinfectant cleaner stuff, because the fumes get pretty intense. If you're in a room that doesn't have good circulation, ask me how I know. But other than that, yeah, I feel your pain on that, and it sucks butt.
All right, babes, this is from the Teacher Needs a Drink contact page from Banshee. Hey, crew, I'm a third-year teacher who stumbled upon your podcast. I then proceeded to binge the hell out of it for the last month. It's been a source of comfort hearing stories from you and other teachers, and has helped me feel less alone through all this. On your podcast, you hard promote, put the mask on before others. And of course, I agree with that 100%, but I'm currently feeling the sting of someone who chose that option. I probably jinxed myself by saying, oh my gosh, I finally feel like I hit my stride with this year. I found out from my students that one of my fellow teachers quit and was leaving the following week for a coaching position. I've worked with this person for almost 3 years, and nothing was said to me or the rest of our department, really. And unfortunately, we have to use a long-term sub. Mind you, I love this person. She has always stepped up when we needed, who has taken over. But guess who now needs to make the lessons for the virtual honors, gen ed, and in-person honors courses on top of their own classes? Something else hard promoted by veteran teachers and that I've started to set for myself is boundaries, not doing more work than you're expected, and taking care of yourself. But if I don't help, then what would happen to this teacher, these students? but I can't help but feel bitter and hurt about all of this.
This is shitty because this is a teacher who's facing the consequences of her administration. It's not the teacher that left's fault because they need to take care of themselves, but it's causing a domino effect. And I think we're seeing a lot of that because there are a lot of teachers who did leave at mid-semester or left a month or two in because just work conditions were not acceptable or safe. I don't want this person to feel, Miss Banshee, to feel guilty about this. What I would do, how I would play this, is I would literally just tell admin, I do not have the time to do this. This is a second person's job. I cannot lesson plan. And I know it's not the, so you can't expect the sub to do everything, but I think that might need to go up the chain, that admin needs to find someone else who gets a stipend for maybe doing this, for, you know, doing the work of a second person. And I know that's hard to, you're not just going to get stipends handed out left and right, but I would bring this up to your admin or to your professional organization saying, hey, I don't have the time or wherewithal to do this. It's going to affect my job performance and how my students are learning.
This actually happened to a colleague of mine. What happened was, is it was a great opportunity for her because they actually said, if you take on all of this responsibility, we are going to pay you $8,000
more.
So I agree with, like, there has got to be some kind of stipend. There has got to be some kind of incentive, because what's going to end up happening is that the classes that you're already teaching, that is your job, are going to suffer along with the other responsibilities of other classes. I really believe, like, this is just, like, you're right. Like, there, you have to go to admin and be like, when is this going to be done? Mm-hmm. What, I mean, you want me to do all of this for what? Because it was never my responsibility to begin with. So
yeah, traditionally it's the role of the teacher who is out to provide lesson plans. But if they're out, I mean, you can't, well, I sure as hell wouldn't. Like, if I'm checking out and they're not paying me anymore, I'm just writing out what I got. I'm not running lesson plans for school. I'm not working at anymore. Yeah, what's going to happen is this teacher is either going to get run off. But please, Banshee, talk to your professional organization or talk to your admin first if you at least have a relationship with them.
This might be a job for, like, a campus curriculum coordinator.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or a district level curriculum coordinator. Or is there somebody at another campus in the same district? I don't know how big your district is. Might be asked to share lesson plans, because in my district, we had a teacher that teaches my same content area quit, like, a week, 2 weeks before school started, resigned because of health concerns, because of COVID. And the teacher, one of the assistant principals at that campus said, hey, would you mind, emailed me at my campus and said, hey, would you mind sharing your lesson plans with whoever the sub is going to be? You don't have to do anything different. Literally just, you know, send us whatever you've got and we'll make it work. Like, that's fine, because that doesn't involve any extra work on my part. That's a them problem. That's not a you problem. Like, in order for you to be able to serve your students, they either need to compensate you with time, like giving you an additional planning period, take a class off your plate and give you additional planning time, or they need to compensate you financially for the extra hours that they apparently expect you to put in outside of school. But this is their problem to solve. They should not be dumping this on you.
And I get the guilt. That sucks. I know many people are put in positions where, like, oh shit, well, if I leave, who's going to take care of these people? And sometimes, I mean, there are times where it's appropriate to be a martyr, or you might need to stay and help people who aren't going to be helped, but that's not the situation. This is a school. There are other employees.
No, it's not.
This isn't like all the other workers left and the old folks are left at the home while the hurricane's about to hit. No, there are other people who can and whose job it is to do this. It kind of almost sounds like admin just dumped it on you because that was the easiest thing and they thought you would do it.
Set your boundaries. Set them now. You need to make sure that you are not working past your required contract hours. And if you have to, I want you to document how long you're doing it. I absolutely agree with everyone else. They either need to give you a second planning period or money. And if they don't do those things, then guess what, sweetie? It is not your problem. I don't want you to feel guilty. You had nothing to do with this. And it wasn't your choice that put everyone in this position. Fuck that shit. Also, I love you.
Hey, gang, guess what?
Hi.
We have a Patreon.
It's like OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's right. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon for Teaching to Drink podcast. There are all kinds of lost episodes you can't get on the public feed anymore. Lots and lots of bonus content. We've been recording pretty much an extra bonus episode every month, as well as lots of deleted clips, bonus scenes. You get to play, just ask us questions. We're even talking about doing a book club soon. In fact, there's all kinds of stuff we're talking about, but I think you guys should join because it's awesome. So Teacher Needs a Drink Patreon, only $5 a month, and you get so much more to listen to. More.
So cheap.
Bonus. Get it.
Bonus. Do it. A small but powerful bomb has been surgically implanted inside your chest cavity. It will detonate in 24 hours unless you can convince a person that they are not alive. They don't have to accept this notion in totality, but they need to concede that it's at least remotely possible that they are not actually alive. You can use any argument you want. You can prey upon their emotions, fears, and anxieties. You can lie and manipulate facts and quote imaginary sources. However, you cannot mention that there is a bomb implanted in your chest. If you do so, the bomb will implant instantly. What argument will you use to convince a person that they are dead? I'd go the computer simulation route. I'd start talking how we're all living in a computer simulation. There's some things in science that kind of lean that, you know, it's that, all simulation.
That's the route I'd go with.
They're just a battery in the matrix.
I'm really kind of fucked up, and here's why. I would absolutely find the most gullible, Bible-thumping, conspiracy theorist individual, and I would just prey upon that and just, you know, left behind type thing and just manipulate the shit. I'm going to hell anyway, so I would really lean into just the amoral quality of that.
I'd go knock on Joe Exotic jail cell. I'd be like, you know what? Trump says you're dead. He'd be like, oh God, what am I going to do? I'm dead. And like, that's why I didn't pardon you, because he knows you're dead. Oh no, I'll never recover. And it'll be funny.
Oh my God, that limo that they had waiting for him.
Wasn't that was kind of juicy in its own like sad way. I was like, no one's coming, and he's that's not making any money off of this.
Fun fact about me, when I meet people or I know like their personality, I judge them on how likely they are to be gullible enough to join a cult. So like, I think about those people who are in the cult like section of my brain going, oh yeah, they have that kind of personality. So you have to think about timing too. You need to wake them up, right? Like you need to wake them up from a sleep and be like, listen, sweetheart, we are dead. Because include yourself in that, right? But ooh, we are dead. We are waiting to ascend. You know, we are like, how do you feel? Do you feel okay? Are we good? And repeat, like, tell me, how do you feel? Like, are you dead? They have to say it, right? I figure like they have to believe
you
it. They have to say
documentation.
It.
I mean, they can't just wish it in their heart.
So, yeah, it's like when you say it, you're like, did you hear that? You know, like, but the thing is, it's just like, it's really hard and you're really put in there and you have to know
your victim
a lot. You have to know your victim, but yeah, you have to know like the psychology of this. Like, I don't know. That's a hard question. I'm really into this question because I'm thinking about a million different ways, like things could go wrong and how things could go right.
I like the idea of waking them up. I think that's genius. And I like the idea of including yourself as that we're both dead. Here we are. But I think you'd have to say, you know, ghosts are people just who haven't moved on or they don't acknowledge they're dead. So if you want to get to heaven and if you mm-hmm. want to see sweet little baby Jesus and his Wonder Bread NASCAR, saying. Then
you got to believe it in your heart.
You got to say it out loud just so baby Jesus hears you with his little tiny perfect ears.
You need somebody who's gullible and weak-minded. That's who you need.
I feel like this is a really mean thing for me to say, but I feel like the QAnon population is really vulnerable right now.
Well, they are super vulnerable. That is absolutely correct, and you shouldn't feel bad about saying that.
Bless their hearts. Great. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my guests who were here with me today. Miss Lucy Lane, it was wonderful having you.
As always, I'm so glad to be a part of this.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, it's always a joy. I'm glad when you're around.
Oh, thanks, Elvis. It was a pleasure as always.
And also Shirley Temper.
Thanks. I bought it at Versace.
All right, my friends, please make sure to titmouse. Sorry. All right, my friends. Please make sure to put the oxygen mask on yourself before helping others and take care of yourselves out there. Everyone, we're all in this together. Deep breath, deep drinks. Cheers. Woo!
Cheers.
So what do you do?
All All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by my friends at Patreon. If you want a little bit more of Teacher Needs a Drink, we got lots of bonus episodes, extra content. You can contact us directly. Go to the Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast section of Patreon. Also, if you have something you would like to share with us, reach out and hit us up through the contact page on our website, www.teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. I'd like to thank my guest hosts who are here with me today, Ms. Shirley Temper, Ms. Bunny O'Hare, and Ms. Lucy Elaine, and of course, Ms. Priscilla, who's by my side throughout all of this. If you get a chance, please subscribe, leave a review, say something nice about us, and honestly, the best thing you can do is find one or two people in your building and tell them about Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Organic's the way to go, and it's the way that people who are kind of like us will enjoy us, not just them freaks out there. All right, my friends, please take care of yourselves, and cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, I would like to welcome you to the 2020-21 school year. Please make sure all personal emotions, familial needs, and health issues are stowed away in the rear compartment of your brain before logging on for the day. Failure to tuck this baggage away may result in an inability to achieve any progress. Once lessons have commenced, you are free to move about your mind and deal with any issues, but be warned that the size and type of your baggage may have shifted, and you risk collapse by exposing yourself to them at this time. There are 12 restrooms in this building. The 8 closest to you will be randomly closed for sanitation. Please consider this when thinking of intaking liquids or your nutrition of any form. Bathrooms are considered off-limits while giving any kind of instruction, so please plan any bodily evacuation accordingly. In the unlikely event that the internet or school software should go down, please notify the front office. We are told one of them should be back from lunch before too long. If you are teaching in person, please make sure you are aware of certain recent safety measures that the local government should have put in place while the lessons are progressing. In general, young humans are disgusting by nature, so these rules should be followed at all times, regardless of your political views or claimed IQ. Number 1. Masks that cover the mouth and nose should be worn at all times, even if the student is 6 feet away from another living creature. Number 2. All students should sanitize hands upon entering and exiting the classroom. Number 3. In the event that you should start feeling emotionally overwhelmed or an anxiety attack coming on, please make sure you put on your own personal oxygen mask and help yourself before tending to the needs of others. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast would like to once again thank you for continuing to work in the noblest of professions, regardless of pay, toxic positivity, and what the general public opinion of your position may be. We know you had many choices in professional careers, and we here at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast are ecstatic that you continue to attempt to educate the future of this world. We welcome the opportunity to listen, commune, cry, smile, and support you through this fucktangle of a year. Remember, you are not alone. Thank you again for listening to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Deep breaths, deep drinks.